Good morning. Talk to you if they came later. Oh, I'm going to tell you this morning how I lost my religion and found faith. I was raised a Roman Catholic and attended Catholic schools except for 3 years of my life. And I'm thankful for those protective years, as I'm sure it saved me from many worldly sins, especially my teen years. I graduated in 55 and went to work in a lab in Richmond for the U.S. Department of Agriculture. And it was there in May 57 that I met my future husband, and a whole new life began for me. We were married in November 57 and started our 49 years as husband and wife. He was my rock, and I trusted and depended on him a lot. Bob was raised a Baptist right here in this church, and after college he went in the Army, so he didn't attend church regularly. And I would attend Catholic church after we got married, and he sometimes went to his church, but we never went together. After a year or so of our marriage, we purchased his family farm in Fosanna, which was something that he dreamed of. And we would come up Route 6 from Richmond on Saturdays to visit his sister Harriet and Loving and Kent. And as we drove up Route 6 from Richmond, he would sing hymns. And one of his favorite was In the Garden. Thank you, choir. And he would teach me the words. And I love that song, and I'm thankful you sang it today. Oh, about a year or two, I guess, after we, got settled, we moved to a home in Sandston. And it wasn't long after we moved that our first child was born, our daughter Linda. And she was born in October 1960. Well, it wasn't long. In December of '60, he was offered a job in Southampton County. And I know there's somebody here who knows where that is. And in December, we moved to Southampton County, and he was the director of the Ivor Laboratory there. Not long after we moved, I found I was pregnant with my second child, Robert. And he was born in January 1962. And it wasn't long after that, in March 63, our second daughter, Liz, was born. To say we were overwhelmed was an understatement. All of this time, neither of us were attending church, and we were having a hard time keeping it together. We knew something was missing in our life, but had not figured it out. Then one Saturday in May 1963, the same year that Liz was born, the pastor of the Ivor Baptist Church saw Bob out cutting grass, and he stopped. And he said, "Bob, exactly what Sunday are you coming to church?" Because I guess he had promised him. So when he told him, "I think I'll come in tomorrow," I decided to go with him. I'd never been in a Protestant church before, didn't know how it went, but we knew all the people in Ivor, and they were all Baptists. So I felt comfortable going, and especially putting Liz in a nursery, because the neighbor next door was the nursery leader. So that Sunday in May 1963, we all got ready and went to Sunday school and church. And when the pastor gave the invitation, this feeling I had never felt before came over me. And I turned to Bob and I said, "Will you go up with me?" And he looked at me like, "Are you sure?" I don't know what the pastor said or what he asked, because tears were rolling down my face. but we both joined the church, and I was baptized that night. I was 26 years old, and that was 58 years ago, but I'll never forget that day. We became active in all the services on Sunday, the preaching, the prayer meetings, the training union, and such. It became our social life, and I loved it. And with the new Bible Bob gave me, I was learning, but not fast enough. I did not know the power of the devil. I didn't know how to rebuke him. I had never read the Bible before or studied any scriptures. But the first thing the devil did was tempt me with, your family's going to disown you because you've left the Catholic Church. Well, he told me that for a long time, and the more he told me, the more depressed I got. I became very depressed to the point I had to be put in the hospital for treatment. And the first thing the doctor told me that when I went there, you need to get on the phone, you need to call your mother, tell her what has happened, if you joined the church, or just back to Catholic faith. Well, I did, and she never once disowned me or said anything to the negative. I think she told me later, my dad said, what in the world is she thinking about? And he was a bastard. But anyway, I fought depression for a long time, and I'm just going to skip over a lot of that, but with help and medication, it helped. I still have to take some mild depressing medicine sometimes when things get a little hard and I forget who's there in charge. But one time, the second time I was in the hospital, God was able to get through to me, and he taught me to get rid of self and to help somebody else. I remember the day I heard this lady crying in the next room. Well, I went in to check. She was in the bed. I don't know whether she had muscular dystrophy or one of those bedridden things. But she was crying because she needed a drink of water. And her sister, who usually came to help every day with her, couldn't get there that day because there had been a great snowfall. And so when I found out what she needed, I got her water and visited with her. And as I did, I said to myself, Charlotte, there is nothing physically wrong with you. The doctors had already said that. But I had this self in me that I needed to get rid of. And he showed me through that, I later learned, was the gift of help. I didn't know about the Holy Spirit, and I did not know anything about the help. I could go on a lot of into that, but the main thing is I learned to trust him, and I studied better in the Bible. And I know Bob always wanted to come back to Savannah. And one day he got a call from the health department in Savannah saying they had a job opening here. But we had four children. We had a house that we were paying for. And we couldn't just up and go without selling the house. They said, well, you have 2 weeks to let us know. So, by word of mouth, we advertised the house being for sale. And would you know, one of the owners of Felt Packing Company in Bible, who went to the Baptist Church, called us and said they would like to buy our house for their son. They gave us exactly what we wanted for the house in cash. But we still had 2 weeks to get moved. So, of course, we prayed, already had been praying, that God would work a miracle in our life. But he wanted us to move. We found, Bob found a trailer advertised in the newspaper in Petersburg. 3 bedrooms. I mean, that was perfect. We called about it, we had the money to pay for it, got somebody to move it to Louisiana, and set it up on the farm. Bob and I moved everything in that house, which was a beautiful house, had a swimming pool and everything. We just decided that was what we needed to do, and God was in it. So we moved everything ourselves and wanted to go packing the company's truck. But I told him the last time we put stuff in the house, the trailer, I said, now this is the last time that I'm going to move. Everybody here knows the joke to that, because I think I've moved, what, 10, 12 times. I said, the next time I move, I told him then that Sheridan Funeral Home would be moving. Well, lots happened in that too, but we're still, I'm moved again, thanks to my friends. But after a few years, we moved the children, they got situated in school. But I forget to leave this out. In 1967, I had a little tumor that I knew had to be. And that's my son Richard. He introduces himself as a little tumor. But it's been wonderful. It's been a wonderful trip. I know that, I guess all of you know, my husband died in 2006. And I know now what the scripture says about the peace that passes all understanding. Because the day he died, I'm listening, but I know the Holy Spirit is with me. I learned a lot about the Holy Spirit, and I'm still learning. He knows the future, he knows the past, he knows what I've been through, but he is in control now of my life, except for this course. I literally got sick last week. Had to go to the doctor.
Sorry.
And I realized now what it was. Because the doctor said there wasn't anything wrong with me again. But I had to let that devil back in, the demon, we just talked about demon the other night, in order to dig up this testimony. I had to dig up past things that I know now are gone. Jesus has forgotten them. But I had to remember things that I didn't want to remember. But I know they're gone, they're forgiven, and I know that I'm not perfect. There's only been one perfect man, the Son of God. I know my children have been through some rough times when they were younger because of the things that I did and believed. I didn't know how to let go and let God. So I want to thank you for letting me share this. And I hope you never ask me to do another thing like this again. But I want you to know one thing. I wish there is a book, I hope there is one, for new believers who don't know the scripture. That's a big book. You say, read the scripture. Okay. But scripture I needed most of all in the beginning was how to overcome the devil. As someone nicely told me, the first thing they did to Jesus, the devil did, was to tempt him. But he was strong. He knew how to overcome the devil. We need to learn that right from the beginning. If you don't know the scriptures, you've never been taught. Know, because he's going to work on you. I've seen it happen as other people till the day you die. He does not want you to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. He wants to drag you back where I've been this week. But I knew now how to overcome it, but it was something terrible I don't want to ever go back to. So if you're having trouble keeping things held in your heart, let them go. Jesus has taken them, he's washed them away, and he doesn't remember them. And he doesn't want you to either. But get into scripture, learn what's better for you. If you don't know any scripture, start at the beginning. Start at the beginning. I think, Richard, you're reading chapter by chapter. Robert, y'all are doing the same thing. So, anyway, thank you. If you have any further questions, don't ask me. Ask for it. About the scriptures. But I praise the Lord for the day that Bob was with me. He was my rock. He's gone now, so he's left the Holy Spirit in charge and my friends in charge, my church family. If it wasn't for church and my church, and I say church, I mean the church family, they're my rock now. But Robert's Bob's gone. And you're here. Be a rock to someone else. And I love you. And thank you.
And I guess I should turn this way. So anyway, Charlotte, thank you. It's this public speaking is not too easy. I can see that now. It's been a while. But anyway, as John said, my family and I have been in this area in Blue Van all our lives. And as Corbin said, I don't know if it's my clan, but my family, I'm thankful that they're here with us. And I'm here at Full Communion. Months ago, Anthony and I were talking, and it was after a worship service while people were filing out. And it was a worship service where someone had shared a testimony. And him and I were talking, and I told him, I said, you know, this would be a good time for other members of the church to share their testimony when you have a Sunday off. And He jumped right on that. He agreed, and first thing he asked was, or he followed up really quickly with, would you be willing to? And I said, well, you know, I'm thinking, I suggested that I can't back out now, so I said, oh yeah, sure. And the thing is, I didn't realize it was going to be this soon. But anyway, here I am this morning, and I'm honestly thankful, and I'm humbled by the opportunity to be able to share a little bit of my experience, and hopefully, it's my prayer that hopefully you can glean something of it that's useful to you, and that that I won't get in the way of the Holy Spirit's movement this morning. With that, my salvation experience is very different than Charlotte. It's interesting how that, I don't know if it was chosen, we were chosen on purpose or not, but to be very different, but ours took very different paths. My salvation is likely similar to many of you in the audience today. I was raised attending a Baptist church. The fact is, as a child, I can't remember a time when I didn't come to church. It was, and I'm thankful for that. As I get older, I realize how thankful that I am for that, because there's a lot worse places you could be. But I had a genuine salvation experience in my early teens at Antioch Baptist Church, just up the road here. And I remember Anthony when he was much smaller. But anyway, I had a genuine salvation experience there at Antioch Baptist Church one Sunday. And God had been dealing with me for some time. But I accepted at that time, walked the aisle at the invitation, just like the standard church service, and was baptized shortly thereafter. I continued through my teenage years attending church and accepting opportunities to serve, but with this big qualifier: as long as they didn't challenge me too strongly. I remained spiritually at a at a surface level, not digging deeply into God's word on my own time, keeping God at arm's length and trying to handle things myself until I thought I needed him. Getting that queasy feeling, I don't know if any of you all have ever experienced this before, but getting that queasy feeling in my stomach whenever either I saw a need that I could fulfill or someone in the church would ask me to do something that would be, you know, like something made me uncomfortable in the church. I'd get that queasy feeling in my stomach and then struggling quickly, because I didn't want to make it look like I was thinking too hard, but I struggled quickly to come up with an excuse as to why it just didn't suit, or I couldn't do it, or there's just no way that I could do it. I continued to serve in and out of church as long as it was comfortable and it worked into my plans. It's easy to do. We substitute the service, the church service, and the activities of the church for spiritual growth. That takes the place of spiritual growth, or at least it did for me. Placing that weekly check in the box of coming to church, or that takes care of what I consider to be my spiritual obligations at the time. The focal passages from the Sunday school lessons in the mornings, or the focal passage that is part of the sermon, becomes that enough Bible reading for the week. And things that we, how busy we get, crowd into that time frame that we should be setting aside, or that I should be setting aside to read my Bible and to learn more, and it just becomes enough. And in short, not taking that next step after salvation. Fast forward to about 3 years ago in my life, when either the Holy Spirit turned up the volume of conviction so that I could finally hear it, or I finally started listening, one or the other. I was convicted of the fact that I was still holding on to my will, my perceived control. I hadn't taken the next step after salvation. To what I've heard in sermons and Bible studies throughout the years, and more recently, described several ways. I've heard it described as the surrendered life. The giving your life to Christ, being a Christ follower instead of just a Christian. Basically, striving to put God's will in place of my own, which for me was tough. Sounds easy, and it rolls out of many sermons every Sunday morning, and we get accustomed to hearing it. But doing it, actually doing it, taking that next step, takes effort. Often, in addition to effort, it takes time. Paul described it in the New Testament in several places as taking a lifetime. He equates it to a race that runs on and on. Thankfully, God is patient and willing to keep working with me, because I'm not an expert at living that surrendered life. I fail often. Now, that's a group of motorcycles. But I fail often. So don't mistake me for having it all together. My hope and prayer here this morning is that my relationship with Christ will always be improving. And sometimes it improves a good bit. Sometimes it goes the other way, or maybe just a little bit. But if I may, I'd like to share a little of how this effort plays out for me. Hopefully you'll find something in my experiences that will help you take that next step. First, for me, it was a better understanding of believing, of that we hear it all the time, that, quote, believing in Christ. Not just believing that Christ lived and who he was, but believing in him enough to try and live like him. The kind of believing that changes our conversations, changes our reactions to life's challenges. It changes the way we pray. It changes the way we spend our money, or actually God's money. And it changes our outlook to an eternal perspective instead of a here and now and a short-term perspective. The kind of believing that leads to trusting him to provide the ability and the courage to accomplish what he directs, not what I direct. And on occasion, when I do this, I have to tell you, it feels really good not having to deal with that queasy feeling in the pit of my stomach when somebody comes and asks if I could do this or if I can help out doing that. Next for me, it's setting aside quiet time each day for Bible study and prayer, both talking and listening. It didn't happen often for me early in my Christian life. For me, it was driven home by the Holy Spirit reminding me that the sovereign creator of the universe, who in Psalms we read, he stitches together in our mother's womb, wants to spend time with me, talking to me. But my actions, the way I respond to that, tell him, no, I think I'll just go watch TV, or I think I'll go work in my shop, or maybe I'm just too busy right now. And when I stopped and thought about it, I was convicted, I guess you would say, that how sad that is for me to overlook an opportunity like that, that God is who he says he is, and he still wants a relationship with us. Regarding scripture, when I set aside more time reading the Bible than watching TV, as you can tell, watching TV was a habit of mine, I discovered there's so much more between the sermon and the Sunday school scriptures that we see every Sunday morning. We tend to, our scriptures, Dwayne and I were talking this morning before the Sunday school class, the sermons and the Sunday school scriptures tend to focus on that, not always the same, but a lot of the same scriptures. But I found that there's a lot more between those scriptures that really are some of the meat. Next for me is the blessings of a closer relationship with him, something that I hadn't really experienced. I'm sure there are better ways to say this, but there's nothing better, and Anthony and I were talking about this a couple weeks ago, there's nothing better than the peace of knowing you've stepped outside of your comfort zone to do something that God wanted you to do, or you experienced an answer to prayer that was a prayer according to his will. The blessing we receive when we do as God directs or allow him to accomplish his will through us instead of us accomplishing it is so much better than our perceived comfort in our will. And finally, I find my prayers consist more of thank you rather than requests. For me, a big one of those that's been made aware of here lately is the thankfulness for being allowed to tell my family, especially my kids, how wrong I was not pursuing a closer relationship with Christ and a closer walk. That's the one time that I'm glad to tell my kids I was wrong. Now, some would say, after hearing some of these things, and they're time-consuming things, some might say that for a salvation that's supposed to be free, that sure sounds like a lot of work. The reading, the studying, the praying. But that's not the case, and it's not what I'm trying to say. These are the next steps after salvation. This is the way our relationship grows deeper and closer to him. Not an obligation for us to do, but the things I find myself looking forward to every day. If you're here this morning and your salvation is secure, you've had that salvation experience, but you need to take the next step to a surrendered life and maybe get your will out of the way and let God's will be in control, I encourage you to prayerfully consider and act on it this week. When we do that, we become something God can use for his purposes, not for our purposes. If you feel comfortable coming forward this morning, sharing your decision, please come. We'd love to hear it. On the other hand, if you're here this morning and you've never taken that first step of salvation, maybe it's a decision you've wrestled with for some time. If that's the case, I'll ask Corbin and Jenny to be available here shortly. If that's the case, we'd love to pray with you as you come. And if you feel like you'd like to, please, I encourage you, please. That old saying and that adage we hear often of there's no time like the present, I can't think of anything else, any other time that saying applies to. So if that's the case, we'd love to pray with you this morning. As John leads in our closing hymn, please come as we sing.